Right now, most churches are planning their budgets for 2009. Your church can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 on the sponsors page at issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. Download the flyer and present it to your congregation today.
I'm prepared as a matter of faith to accept that life begins at the moment of conception. For me to impose that judgment on everyone else is inappropriate in a pluralistic society.
I can do my part doing things like working really, really hard to get a natural gas pipeline and pray about that also. I think God's will has to be done in unifying people and companies to get that gas line built. So pray for that.
Barack Obama was a community organizer like Jesus. Pontius Pilate was a governor.
The God that Dawkins and Hitchens and Sam Harris reject is not the God of the seeker-sensitive, user-friendly theological model. That God doesn't worry them at all.
Do you remember those family meals? Maybe it was a birthday, maybe it was Thanksgiving or Christmas. Too many people in the house, too many people to fit around the big dining room table. So what did they do? They set up a card table in the next room, maybe in the next room over. They called it the kids' table. And that's where they put the kids. And all the grown-ups got to sit in the dining room with one another. And the kids, they had to go sit at the kiddie table. Now, I came from a big family, and that meant there were a couple kiddie tables. And sometimes my kiddie table was really on the outskirts of the action. And I never liked it. I always thought I was kind of a second-class citizen being asked to go sit at the kiddie table at the big family meals. I wanted to sit at the dining room table with the grown-ups. That's where all the action was. That's the world I wanted to be a part of. So what are we doing nowadays in the church? Sending our kids off to children's church? What do we think? They can't handle it? They don't understand it? Or the cry room or the nursery? We're going to be talking about children and worship. Two words that many Christians simply assume don't go together. Deaconess Pam Nielsen is our guest here for the first half hour of the program this Friday, October the 17th. I'm Todd Wilkin. After our conversation with Deaconess Nielsen, Dr. James Lamb will join us. Is abortion just another political issue? He'll answer that question for us. Pastor Marcus Zill will join us after that. There's a new survey of religious beliefs and practices of college students. Perhaps those college students spent too much time in the nursery and not enough time in church. We'll see what it says. Dr. Richard Stuckwish will join us as the church remembers on this day Ignatius of Antioch. And tomorrow the church will be remembering Luke the Evangelist. We'll round off today's program with Dr. Peter Scare of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, remembering Luke. Deaconess Pam Nielsen is senior editor of Sunday School, Youth, and Family Materials for Concordia Publishing House. Pam, welcome back.
Hi, Todd. It is a great day to be able to talk to you. Great, great hearing your voice.
Well, Pam, I consider any day that I'm talking to you a great day.
Well, thank you. You just have no idea how happy I am.
Well, I'm happy too, and I'm even happier that you're happy. People say kids can't understand what happens amongst the grown-ups on Sunday morning in the divine service in church itself. That's why we have cry rooms. That's why we have church nurseries. That's why we have children's church. How do you respond?
Well, I think, you know, we could do away with much of that because God's house is for all of God's people. And the worship service, as we confess, is the clearest expression of the church, where God's people are gathered around his word and sacraments, receiving the gifts that he means to give us. And if that isn't for all of God's family, then it isn't for any of God's family. And we baptize infants and we say that they are full members of the family, children in this family. This is for them too. This is their God, and these are not things for later. These gifts are for them now because now they need them just like all the rest of us, because now they have their sin, and they need forgiveness, and they need God's grace and mercy, and they need to hear about that. And that where that happens in the best and clearest way is in his house when the people are gathered around the gifts that God gives us.
Well, before we go on to talk about more in depth everything you've just said there, let's deal with one issue right up front and briefly, and that is, you know, there is a baby in the front row of the church that's crying its head off.
Mm-hmm.
And being as loud as a baby can possibly be doesn't really know any better. So is there an appropriate time to say, well, there is a room set aside for the baby to kind of cry itself out and then come on back in?
Well, certainly. A baby, anybody who's causing a commotion and, you know, the keeping the rest of God's people from being able to focus and hear and be part of that, for a time you take them out. This is what, you know, what mommies do in grocery stores when children throw fits. You know, I can think with my three children countless times that we left the cart in aisle 13 and went out to the parking lot and settled down and then went back in, finished our shopping. The same thing in God's house in the middle of the worship service. Children are children, babies are babies, and they are going to, you know, nap time hits. We've got a little guy in our church right now that his morning nap time hits right about when the sermon begins. And that's a struggle for mom and dad. If they can get him to sleep before, that's good. Otherwise, mom's often standing in the narthex or taking him out for a bit and bringing him back. And that's fine and good and appropriate. But we also, in our church, encourage the families with the youngest children to sit right up front, because there's a greater chance for children to be visually engaged with what's going on. The further back in the pews that they are, the less they see. They're little people, so when they stand up, they're looking at the backside of a very big person. They're not seeing the movement up around the altar. They're not seeing what's going on. And those are all things that, for children, are meaningful. They like to see and know, and they understand. Everybody's looking forward. Must be something big going on there. And they want to be part of that. And so sit up front. When they get restless, take them out for a bit. And in time, and in not so long a time, the little children will figure it out. Maybe they'll be squiggly. They won't be so noisy. And eventually they won't be so squiggly either.
Okay, you said before that if this isn't for everyone, then it really isn't for anyone in God's family, in God's house. Why is worship important for everyone, the little ones included?
Well, worship is, and this is a fundamental understanding, and that worship isn't about what we do so much. Worship is about what God does for us. And, you know, we can say, and we believe that God is with us all the time. But where do we find him? Where can I, in the midst of my sin, in the trouble of this world, of all the things that I face as a sinful human being, where can I grasp on to my God and know that he is there for me? And there is no clearer place than in the worship service where God comes to us. In his word preached through the mouth of a sinful man, the pastor, in water that is poured over us and paired with his word and his promise that brings us into his family, gives us the forgiveness of sins, then where we receive his holy meal, bread and wine, his very body and blood for our forgiveness to sustain us in this life here on this earth. That's where we can find God for sure, and that's where he clearly comes to us. And those things that are said and the things that are done, they're not symbols. They are real. They do what they say they'll do. His word gives us forgiveness. Baptism makes us his children. His body and blood strengthens our faith, imparts his forgiveness, and prepares us for the days lived on this earth, makes us ready. And all of that is God coming to us. And, you know, elsewhere in our lives, we can pick up the Bible, we can read, sure, we pray, we talk with other Christians, But in the worship service, these things happen in a very special way, and it's in a way that God has guided the church through the centuries in how to worship, going all the way back to the Jewish worship that influenced the early Christians, and out of that came the liturgy, and even a lot of the hymns and how we, what we say, what we do in worship. And so, yes, it very much is for all of us. And the other thing is that we're a family, we're a community. And, you know, it's, I guess, kind of American to think that religion is just about me and Jesus. But it really, our faith is tied not only to our God, but also to our neighbor and our brothers and sisters in Christ. And that's where we gather. That's where that all happens, in the worship service.
So get us started just a little bit here with only about 30 seconds. People will say this historic liturgy that the church has been handing down for millennia now, it's just too far over the kids' heads. It's too ethereal. With only about 30 seconds, give a brief response to that. Then we'll pick it up on the other side of the break.
Sure. I think the historic liturgy, because it so much is the same each week, it's really perfect for children and other people who can't read or don't fully understand, because after a few weeks, you get the rhythm, you get the flow, you even begin to get the words, the responses, the behaviors. It's very accessible for a young child. And in time, through the words, the actions, the symbols, the things that you see and experience, it all paints a picture and conveys a message that, yes, even a little child can understand and grow in understanding.
Deaconess Pam Nielsen is our guest, senior editor of Sunday School Youth and Family Materials for Concordia Publishing House. We're talking about children and worship this Friday, October the 17th. I'm Todd Wilkin. When we come back, another 10 minutes with her, and then Dr. James Lamb will join us. Is abortion just another political issue? We'll answer that question in about 10 minutes. Stay tuned. On behalf of the staff of Issues Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,600 who signed the online petition to bring back Issues Etc. Shelby Knoll, Kendra Cook, Claire Wilson Parr, Shay Knoll, Jason Casper, Gail Swartz, Catherine Hilmer, Scott Corder, Pastor Jeff Bloom, and Carolyn Bira. Thanks for your support.
Issues Etc. is a team effort. Your phone calls, email, and snail mail help resurrect this worldwide outreach. Now we need your help to sustain Issues Etc. by making a gift to Lutheran Public Radio today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check, Lutheran Public Radio, Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. Help support Christ-centered, cross-focused talk radio for the thinking Christian.
Grace, faith, Scripture, and Christ alone. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by becoming the most recent members of the Issues Etc. 300. Mount Calvary Lutheran, Excelsior Springs, Missouri. The Lutheran Church of Our Savior, Cupertino, California. Christ Our King Community Lutheran, Costa Mesa, California. Christ Our Savior, Freeburg, Illinois. And Peace Lutheran, Neenah, Wisconsin. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in its mission or advertising budget on our website, issuesetc.org.
Historic liturgy, cool. Liturgical dance, not cool. Kneeling for the Lord's body and blood on a Sunday morning, cool. Sitting in your theater-style seat with couple if you're a double mocha latte, not cool. We're the Brothers of John the Steadfast. If you're interested in traditional Lutheran doctrine and practice, check us out. www.steadfastlutherans.com.
You are.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking with Deaconess Pam Nielsen of Concordia Publishing House about children and worship. Remember, my son wasn't even able to speak. He was still in his crib, in his diapers, and invariably on a Sunday evening, even before he was able to talk, we would hear coming out of his room over the baby monitor the songs that we had been singing, that we had sung Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, the great songs of historic Christian worship, out of a little baby's mouth. I'll tell you, he didn't know the definitions of the words he was saying, not that we know, but he was singing them nonetheless. You know, the understanding would come later, but he first learned to mouth those words, those great words of praise toward our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, even before, as far as we know, he could completely understand them. Had we sent him off to children's church, he probably never would have learned those great praises, those scriptural praises of our God. Pam, if I believe, you said before that the reason that children belong in worship is because worship isn't about what I do, it's about what God does. But if I believe that worship is what I do, then I'm going to disqualify all sorts of people, not just little children. There are going to be all sorts of people who really don't belong there if it is all about what I do, won't I?
Well, that's true. People who can't sing or people who don't fully understand because of mental limitations or, you know, you name it. I guess there's a gamut of people. Or if you just are sometime the person that walks into church, a Christian, faithful, but you just don't even feel like it that Sunday. It's not in your heart to be there. Maybe you shouldn't be there if it's what you do. But it really isn't what you do. The part that we do in worship, and sure, we sing, we pray, we listen. Those things that come as responses to the things that God has done and is doing for us, to the things that we hear from his word preached to us on that Sunday morning that we sit in those pews, our singing, our praying in the service is all wrapped around the theme of that day, flowing from the gospel reading. And that minds our minds, it minds our hearts, trains them on the theme that God gives us through that gospel reading rather than, you know, us just pulling some focus out of the air that we come up with. And I'm sure you have that experience of how often you walk out of church and go, wow, how God knew I needed to hear that gospel today. You know, whatever is going on in my life, how did he know? But he does. And he does it, and he gives us just what we need. So, yeah, you're right. It would exclude a lot of people, and we're glad that it doesn't. Church is for everyone.
Before the break, you were talking about the historic worship of Christians handed down for millennia now, and how it is almost custom made for participation and attendance by little children. Be specific. Some of the sights, the sounds, the experiences that are there in historic worship that the children that seem custom made for children of all ages, really.
Sure. And let's note that from history, when these things were first established by God's people, there were no hymn books, there were no printed liturgies, there were no screens to look upon, to be directed, nobody up front with a microphone. These things God's people came up with and they have been passed down to us. And so there are things that we do. We stand at certain times. We sit. And children very physical. And because they don't read, don't understand a lot of words, all these other things that go on around them are pretty meaningful, and they notice them. Oh, everybody's standing. You don't have to be too old to understand something's important is going on. Oh, everybody's looking forward. Or when we bow our heads and you see parents folding their children's hands in prayer, or we focus on the pastor and what he's doing, or we kneel at the altar. We also see things in the church We see the cross. We see the altar. We see the font. We see the communion vessels. We see this man dressed in peculiar clothes, not like anybody else here. He's got this white robe on and a colorful scarf around his neck in his stole. And those things speak to children. That draws their attention to the front, to him. The candles, even the act of lighting the candles makes a statement. Something's going to start. The sound of the organ and how the organist guides us in the worship to if you're singing a hymn with a doxological last verse, our organist always pauses between the verses there, and we know, nobody has to tell us, oh, we got to stand up for this. He gives us a cue with his organ playing, and children pick that up very quickly because that's how they negotiate in this world when they don't know words or can't read words.
The reason when I am in church on Sunday morning that I can mine the depths, not only in my mind, but I should say also through God's word in the spirit, the reason I can mine the depths of what is being preached and sung and prayed is because my parents had me next to them in the pew with the very same words and songs from my earliest memory. I've literally grown up with this, and now it's not just meaningful. The meaning is, it's not a subjective experience. There is meaning there that can be mined to the greatest depths. Talk a bit about that with about a minute here.
Well, that's the beauty of it. When it's familiar, sure, you're going to have days where you're kind of numb to it. But when something's familiar and you don't have to struggle with what to say and what to do, then those things that you've often repeated, often said and sung, then you can go to the next level and really ponder what they mean and what's going on there, because you're not distracted by just simply trying to follow along and figure it all out with hymnal and pages. And these words, all of the liturgy, comes right from God's word. So we know that it comes with God's promise, that it has a purpose, and it will carry out that purpose for which he intended. So that's living, active word from God that we sing and we hear. And when we're in that rhythm of the liturgy and we know what's going on, our minds can be cleared to focus on the message he's giving us. And you're right. From childhood on, God's people have been worshiping this way for precisely these reasons. We grow up in the church. We grow up in faith as his children, and we learn things along the way, and each thing, new thing we learn deepens our understanding of who our God is and what he's done for us.
Pam, to wrap this up, tell us a little bit about the great new children's worship folders called Growing in Christ, this resource for teaching our children, bringing our children into the house of God for the service of God to us, called Growing in Worship.
Sure. This is a brand new product. We've never had anything quite like it from CPH. Growing in Worship is a colorful weekly leaflet or bulletin, if you want to call it, to give to children, particularly targeted ages 5 to 10, that opens up to a child a whole another level of understanding about what's going on in the worship service. It introduces the seasons of the church year, the colors, points out difficult words, helps them understand the collect of the day and the gospel reading. There are activities to do. There are things to see and look at, you know, and they're explained. Well, why do we have a cross on the altar? Why do we have an altar? Those things get explained in this resource. And then on the back, there is a whole week's worth of things that moms and dads can, with their children, talk about what happened in church on Sunday, rehash it, do other activities to keep them focused all week long on the message that flows from the gospel reading. It's a really exciting new product, and I'm eager to really talk to you about it.
Folks, you can find out more about Growing in Worship under the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, or you can order Growing in Worship for your congregation. by calling Concordia Publishing House. Their toll-free number, 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040. Growing in Worship. Deaconess Pam Nielsen is Senior Editor of Sunday School Youth and Family Materials for Concordia Publishing House. Pam, it's always a pleasure, and thanks for being our guest.
Thank you. Many blessings.
You know what Paul says to young Timothy when he's writing to him? This is aged Paul. Paul grew up in the church of his day, in the Old Testament people of God being taught the Old Testament, and then Christ opens his eyes to see what it's about, and he writes to young Timothy, you know, from infancy, you have known the Holy Scriptures. Well, how could Timothy have known the Holy Scriptures from infancy? Certainly wasn't because his faithful mother was sending him off to the cry room or the nursery or to children's church or children's synagogue for that matter. No. It's because young infant Timothy was right there at the foot of those who were reading and expounding the Scriptures, who were, whether they knew it or not, through those words proclaiming the Christ who would come, so that Timothy from infancy could be familiar with the comfort, the great comfort that Scripture, God's Word, gives to every Christian of every age of the Savior, Jesus Christ, crucified and risen for him. When we come back, we'll talk with Dr. James Lamb. Is abortion just another political issue? I think not. Stay tuned.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
We know that many congregations are putting together their budgets for next year. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues, Etc. to your congregation's mission or advertising budget for 2009. Simply go to the sponsors page of our website, issuesetc.org, and find out more about the Issues, Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues, Etc. You'll even find a one-page flyer that you can hand out. Thanks for your support.
On behalf of the staff of Issues, Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,600 who signed the online petition to bring back Issues, Etc. Joshua Bissey, Elaine Keller, C.N. Henley, Randall Poppy, Ruth Pranchke, Scott, Mrs. Anita Vandenberg, Kim Metis, R.C. Smith, and Scott Zweifel. Thanks for your support.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
Thanks to the Hyde Amendment, the U.S. hasn't been using your tax dollars to fund abortion, except for assault, rape, incest, or life of the mother. I don't like all those exceptions, but it saved hundreds of thousands of babies. Recently, the number of abortions funded in Illinois under the Hyde Amendment has risen dramatically. They went from 20 to nearly 400. We need answers and accountability. Is this state ignoring the law? The only way to find out is to have Michael Levitt, the Secretary of Health and Human Services, investigate. This means you and I must apply pressure for him to do so. Please email Secretary Levitt now by visiting today's broadcast link at lifeissues.org. This simple task will help save hundreds of babies.
Life Issues. Stay informed. More informed than you've ever been.